the Performance Training Academy podcast with today's guest, James Buckingham. My name's Ashley Hoff, and in today's podcast, we are looking at home training considerations, what kit you need, a variety of different set methods you can utilize, working on any weaknesses you may have, and the importance of planning when it comes to your home workout routine. We hope you enjoy. Okay, so we are here again with James Buckingham for podcast number 2. And today we're going to be talking about home training considerations. Now, obviously, at the moment, again, this podcast is being filmed at a time when coronavirus is worldwide. So people are in a state of lockdown. Lots of negatives because of this. But what we are seeing is there's lots of individuals out there who are focusing a lot more on themselves and their workouts and their exercising at home. So this is what today's podcast is going to be about. It's considerations that you might want to implement into your own training and take it from there. So hopefully by the end of this podcast, you're going to have a few ideas that you can action straight away. So we're going to delve straight into it. So James, how are you doing?
Good to see you, Ash. Thanks very much. Round 2. This is all very exciting.
It is very exciting, isn't it? Now, you're a gym owner. So I'm very aware, and I've seen your posts on social media. You've got some gym kit at home. You've got a bar. You've got some stuff you can use, which is great. And there are people in that situation. But there's also a lot of people in a situation where they haven't got the availability for that type of kit. So that's what we're going to talk about today, isn't it? About how we can use different methods, different training approaches to still get that overload and still keep training towards that end goal. The only thing that changes is the type of training you do to get there for the short term, you know? So let's dive straight in, Paddy. So we're looking at, let's start with kit.
Okay.
And I'm sure you've got a lot, I know you've got clients who are following what you do and your advice to keep them active at this time. Let's just go back and forth a little bit, what type of kit you're recommending people have at home in this sort of time scale that we're in.
So that's a good one, Ash. It depends, you know, if you're in a shitty little flat with no room, mm-hmm. or if you've got a garage like I have, luckily. But let's go through the basic stuff. Bear in mind that the body doesn't realize if you've got a dumbbell or a kettlebell or a baby or a bag or a sandbag, it doesn't really matter. It's just a load, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So the first weight or first thing we can consider is a body weight, of course. Bench press, okay, we'll do press-ups, you know. Squatting with weight, okay, we'll do something else. But to aid these things, a couple of bands is really very, very useful. You can get so much done with a couple of different, you know, a thinner band and medium, a couple of medium bands. There's so much you can do, from pressing to pulling to squatting to lunging, all sorts. Anyway, that's the first piece of kit I'd recommend. Secondly, if you can go too far as getting some kettlebells, and perhaps, I was thinking about this before, and perhaps females might want to get a 12, a 16, a 20 kilo, and blokes might want to get a 16, a 20, and a 24 kettlebell, and that kind of covers the range. And if you've got somewhere to put one, a pull-up bar, mm-hmm. and maybe a skipping rope. And really, there's so much you can do with just that amount of equipment, just in your front room. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you've got a garage, then you know, we can talk about things like getting yourself a bar, maybe a couple of plates, and then there's some CV kit that we can talk about as well. But
yeah,
you don't need a lot to get a lot of work done. You just need a bit of imagination and, you know, what's around you. You can get a lot done.
And as a start, that's it, isn't it? You know, and I know there's a lot of businesses that are struggling at the minute. And unfortunately, big corporate companies such as Amazon are thriving because of this sort of climate. But again, the stuff that you mentioned, I know because I've updated some of my own home kit since this whole process has started, and you can get these things to arrive fairly quickly. Like, as you say, resistance bands, so versatile, lots you can do with them. Kettlebells, just a point on that one. I think it's good to convey that when you're buying kettlebells, you don't have to buy them in pairs. So like if you are going to get a 12K kettlebell or a 20K kettlebell, A, for cost, it's cheaper just to buy the one. And there's many benefits to having just the one as well, in terms of that unilateral repage, isn't there?
Yeah, for sure. That you mentioned that, Ash, about the unilateral thing, and that might take us on slightly to talk about, you know, how we can do stuff that we don't normally do, let's say, in the typical gym environment. Mm-hmm. And let's say you're doing, will we talk about this now, kind of how we can change things up a bit?
Yeah.
So let's say you have a 20 kilo kettlebell or a 16 kilo kettlebell, just the one. There's still so much you can do, isn't there? You can do goblet squat or single arm squat or split squats, presses, rows, pulls, you know, swings. There's billions and billions of stuff you can do. It's fantastic. And then you can add a band to that kettlebell and swing it and press it, all sorts. Yeah. So it's just a lump of load, a lump of weight. That's all the body kind of recognizes. So yeah, you're absolutely right. A band and some kettlebells and just the one will help.
Yeah, I think so. And I know we're going to delve into this more, but obviously that like single side of work, just working one side at a time, just using one kettlebell for one side, it's got many benefits in terms of activating the core a little bit more. And it's different to what people become accustomed to, because let's be fair, people go to the gym week in, week out. And yes, they're always training at high intensity, training at a low to get them towards their goal. But they end up doing the same sort of things in some respect, the sort of lifts that they enjoy doing. What I think people have got to do at this moment in time is take themselves out of that comfort zone a little bit, learn new skills, do things slightly differently because we have to. And the body will respond really well to that, won't it?
Once again, Ash, you're absolutely right. So there was... a study recently done that, let's talk about squats, for example, and you're doing your normal squats bilateral, like two legs down, and then you decide to change it up and do split squats, mm-hmm. or single leg stuff. Although there's less load on your legs, as it were, the muscles have to work that much harder, yeah. from a proprioception point of view, from a balance point of view, and actually from a bodybuilding point of view, therefore, or a strength point of view, therefore, it punches above its weight. If am I making sense? Yeah, single leg stuff will transfer really well to double leg stuff. So, and you know, let's say even if you're really quite strong, you've got a 16, a 20, a 24 kilo kettlebell, just one on your shoulder offset, and you go down really slowly for 5 seconds, pause at the bottom and up really slowly for 5 seconds, you know, do a few rounds of that, change sides. It is horrendous. There's a huge metabolic effect.
Yeah.
So there is a metabolic effect, i.e. kind of, you know, blowing out your ass, using more glycogen. And then you can also do things that increase your power and speed. We could talk about that as well if you want.
Yeah. And to touch on what you said then, obviously when you're working shoulder pressing or squatting, like you're doing a weight on each side at the same time, you do your 10 reps. The thing is, when you're doing a lot of unilateral stuff and working one side at a time, you do your 10 reps. And then you've got to do another 10 reps to balance out to do the other side. So again, the energy expenditure is completely different to a normal session as well, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, yeah. There's nothing worse than someone says, "Are you doing single arm rows or something?" And you're, "Oh, feckin' hell, I've got to do two rounds of this. It's gonna..." So you actually get that double blown out your ass whammy. So you're absolutely right. You can really actually work metabolically really quite well with just the minimum amount of equipment.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can certainly do that. Also, if we bring it home to people, you know, what's easier to carry? Two suitcases, in one in each hand, or one suitcase? It's exactly. The two, isn't it? So, you know, single arm, single leg stuff's really useful. Anyway, yeah. That's, I suppose, we're hammering.
And that's obviously the point of this podcast today as well, is to try to get people to understand, yes, things are very limited at the minute, but what you've got to do with this time is try to be a bit creative and do stuff you wouldn't normally do. The unilateral stuff, definitely a starting point for that. I know we're going to discuss that throughout this podcast a little bit as well. So far we're thinking about, let's just cap off the kit side of things. So resistance bands, definitely. Kettlebells, really good. Yeah, I mean, they're not the cheapest, but they're not the most expensive bit of kit. And the thing is, you'll use them at home. Do you know what I mean? If there's personal trainers listening to this, I'm sure I know I've had clients over the years that don't want to use a gym or can't always get to a gym. And training someone at home, because you've got a few kettlebells, it's something that you can utilize for your business as well. So it will get you through this time, but then it will also be another something that you can add into your business. If you've got to train people in the outdoors, in their homes, just take a small bits of kit with you, resistance bands, kettlebells, And you can do a whole session with those two things, can't you? Or those few things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So other things as well that people can consider. Obviously, TRXs as well. Not a bad thing to have at home as well, especially you've got the space to, I know you can put a TRX on the other side of a door and close your door and use it that way. If you've got pull-up bars, you can hang them off a pull-up bar. Again, it's just that other way to be able to do some pulling actions. Maybe someone's not strong enough to do a pull-up, but TRX rows, nice way to little, as almost a compromise, isn't it?
Yeah. And if you can afford a TRX thing, which can cost about 100 quid or something crazy, just get a piece of rope and loop two handles around it, you know,
yeah, and that's it done. Exactly.
I've got one of them actually in the gym, just a two-piece rope with two handles on it. It's the same.
Exactly. The TRX brand, and not to diss that so much, but it is expensive and you can get much cheaper alternatives. You can make your own, but you can get cheap alternatives on Amazon and eBay and stuff as well, can't you?
Yeah.
Sure. Kit-wise, anything else you're thinking about, mate, kit-wise, that we could suggest at this time?
So if you've got a bit more room, a really good idea is clearly to have a bar and a couple of plates. That's always great. And so that'd be weight-wise. So pull-up bar, weight, kettlebell, and some bands. And then if you want cardio equipment, a skipping rope, you can't really go far wrong with that.
Yeah.
Maybe a punch bag. And then if you've got enough money to buy a piece of a bit of kit, mm-hmm. a machine type thing, you can either choose between a rower, which I really like the rower, an assault bike, which is disgusting, it's quite good, or indeed the ski erg. If I was to choose, I'd probably go with the rower, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. I know what you're going to say, but tell us why. Why the rower?
Well, there's so much you can do with it because you're it's legs. It's a full body, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And you can also do really useful things like instead of just rowing at your chest, you can then take it up and do external rotation at your shoulders, and it's a massive amount of core work going on. So I'd be a rower, although expensive, the skier, or the goddamn disgusting assault bike. So as I say, I'd do the rower.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And the good thing is, I mean, because I think home training is always stereotyped to having a couple of put together dumbbells, maybe a token kettlebell, which is way too light. And people end up doing these circuits based around a very small, limited bit of equipment. And we're not saying it to everyone on this podcast to go out and buy yourself your own home gym sort of thing. But it's just, again, it's considerations. You know, I know I've invested in stuff at home. I know you've invested in stuff at home as well. I know you have a gym, so it's a little bit different for you. But I know people who have invested in stuff at home. Even stuff like, I know people have got a treadmill, not because they prefer it to going out running, because they're going outside running is what they want to do. You know, it's free. You don't have to pay for that. But, you know, if you've got kids, having a treadmill at home allows you to do something when the kids go to bed if you can't get out and that sort of stuff as well, isn't it? You know, so again, it's expensive, just like a rowing machine is. But if it's beneficial to your goal, sometimes it's worth the investment, isn't it?
Well, I'd say yes, Ash. But as I say, if you got just the one piece of money for, you know, one piece of kit, I wouldn't do the treadmill because from a cardiovascular point of view, it's extremely good because you're blown out your ass, you know, and that's great. But there's more metabolic effect from a full body work of a rower or a ski erg or indeed the old disgusting assault bike. So yeah, if you can afford it, you got the space, get all of it.
Exactly. But rower is the go-to, isn't it? And as you rightly said, rower, it's that one, it works everything, lower body to upper body sort of thing. That's why it's so good for warm-up, isn't it? It utilizes everything in the movement, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about how we use this kit then. So and I know there's going to be a range of different people listening to this. Some will have very limited kit. Some have probably got kit. Some have probably got kit they borrowed from your gym at this time as well, so they can do a little bit more. But let's talk about what you can do with this kit. Obviously, it's about being a bit creative, isn't it? You have to change the plan to make sure you're still working towards that goal. We've talked a little bit about working unilaterally, using one side at a time, using one kettlebell instead of two dumbbells, for example. What other methods of training would you suggest at this time that we can really start to think about?
It depends on what you're trying to achieve, but let's say you just want to kind of, you know, work on body composition, keep some muscle. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? And if you're even in the gym, you'd say increase your time under tension. Mm-hmm. And so how do I increase my time under tension when I'm at home? Go really slow. And we'll talk about eccentric work, but let's say, for example, even I've been doing it for the last 2 or 3 weeks is 10-second lowering, even from split squat, or let's say a squat, 10 seconds. So you've got a kettlebell and you're doing a goblet squat, 10-second lowering, no rest at the bottom, and 10 seconds to lift it. That's one rep, takes 20 seconds. And you do that to near failure. And no matter what weight you've got, it can be, you know, you do it to near failure. And it really is disgusting. And you have a huge metabolic effect. So that's one way of doing it. Then if you want to then cement that in, and it's counterintuitive and goes against the rule book, but then have a rest and do something upper body, and then come back to do a plyometric or jump squat. So, I mean, so you get this slow, damaging, horrible metabolic effect, 10 seconds down or 5 seconds, whatever, and 5 or 10 seconds up, do it to near failure, do some press-ups, maybe the same tempo, and then into a jump squat, 5 reps. And I'm telling you, even in the gym, I'd do that. And it's bloody disgusting. So that's one way of slowing your tempos down. That's one way. Another way would be to do isometric. Once again, we're talking about the time and attention, right? So isometric work. Let's say we're talking about a press up in this case. Let's say you're very strong. You can get a plate or a weight or a child or something, put it on your back, do your press ups with your knuckles maybe, or indeed on something, so it's deficit. Yeah. And go down for 5 seconds, pause, take your hands off, and drive up for another 5 seconds. So that's what, 10, 12 seconds for a rep?
Yeah.
And you do that a few times. That's the same as we spoke about the squats, but the isometric work, you can pause 6 seconds, pause 6 seconds, pause 6 seconds, and then drive up. Mm. And you know that eccentric lowering has quite a damaging effect on your muscle fibers, therefore damaging, needs repair, as long as you're eating your protein and good quality animal produce. Will I rattle on, Ash?
That as well, and I think a lot of people dismiss that until they try it. Because as you say, like the kettlebell you're holding, it doesn't have to be the heaviest resistance, the heaviest load that you can manage. You have to adapt it because you're training the type of the repetition that you're doing, the type of reps you're doing. And I think when you do it, you realize how effective it is. You know, if you, with doing that 10 second down, 10 second up, even if it's 5 seconds down, 5 second up, you realize that after 2 or 3 reps, that's quite a lot of time that you've been activating these muscles with load, with resistance. And all of a sudden you can feel it. Your heart rate's up, your breathing rate is up as well, isn't it? You know? And I think individuals who haven't tried, you know, putting time and the tension or using tempo to make the move harder, they should have a go at it because it's so effective, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is quite. And actually, one of the things that this has reminded me is about this time and attention and slowly up, slowly down. Now, it's not going to be more powerful mm-hmm. if your goal is to be an Olympic lifter or a sprinter, but you can still get more muscle mass, and therefore that muscle mass later on can equate to your power later. Yeah. And that's why I like to do that contrast of something slowly up, slowly down, and then into some plyometric work, which, as I say, in theory doesn't work, but it bloody well does, I'm telling you now. That's the first point. And then we talk about isometrics, Ash. And when a true isometric was you're pressing against something that's immovable.
Yeah.
So, for example, let's talk about you're doing some calf work. You're an athlete or you're a sprinter, so you want to keep your calves and your Achilles tendons strong. Mm-hmm. One way to do that is stand on a little chair or a stool and press against your door frame, or you know, up against the door frame, and press as hard as you can for anything from 8 to 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. Then get off and do 50 skips or 100 skips, and you know you really will improve the integrity of your Achilles tendon for springing. You know, is what they do. So isometric work, I don't want to waffle on too much, but isometric work is something you can do even now. Even let's say you're doing a split squat, just go down halfway, stay there for 10 seconds, straight back up and do it, you know, do it again. So isometric work, really quite useful. Yeah. Don't disregard it. That door frame thing, let's say you just want to do isometric shoulder press. Press against the door frame as hard as you possibly can, 8 to 10 seconds, then come off it, then get the kettlebell and whack it over your head, or banded Cubans would be an even better idea. You know, banded Cubans for external rotation work.
And what I like about what you're saying there, like the isometric work, if you try it, it's damn hard, isn't it? You know, you feel like when you're doing it, you can feel the sweat increasing, the metabolic rates going up. It's really hard. It's challenging. What I like about what you're saying so far as well is how you're not just saying do an isometric hold and that's your exercise done. It's a case of do an isometric hold and then go into something else targeting that same muscle group. Same as what you did just now with the slow reps. Do your slow time and the tension reps and then go straight into plyometric reps or something like that as well. So that's, again, something that I think people should take away from this, is use these different methods and incorporate them into different set methods, isn't it? So you're not just doing one exercise on its own, you're doing supersets and trisets, but using these different disciplines to make them effective, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ash. But let's say a couple of things, the isometric work or whatever, is, I know what you're saying, to make work harder, but I would probably, let's say I did an isometric shoulder press against my door frame. Mm-hmm. I'd come off that and do some lower body work, maybe an isometric to give my shoulders a bit of a rest, isometric, maybe split squat. Then I'd do a more explosive shoulder press or handstand press up or something. Or even Cuban press. I like that with band. And then, see what I mean? Just to give yourself a bit of rest, otherwise you're cooked. One thing people should remember is when you're pressing isometrically as hard as you can about against an immovable object, you'll get strong at that point of the angle of your joint. So let's say my joint is that angle. I'll get strong at that angle, but also plus or minus 15 degrees.
Yeah.
So that's why you might do, let's say you're doing a squat, you might be nearly at the bottom, halfway up, and nearly at the top. They're the 3 points. And you hold that for 8 seconds or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to waffle on, but that's quite important. Some people think it's just some crap. It's absolutely not. And people have been using it to fix weak points for a long, long time. You know, you watch athletes training, they do a lot of isometric work.
That last bit that you just said about the joint angles, you know, pausing at the bottom, a third up, two thirds up to the top. So again, another method people could consider is partial reps, isn't it? Partial repetitions. And that's that same thing, isn't it? In a squat, you're doing, instead of holding it isometrically, you can do little pulses, which I know a lot of like Les Mills would be utilizing and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
But again, it's to work on different areas of the joint angle, isn't it?
Yeah, so you as you say, and once again, you know, strong hardcore gym blokes will poo-poo that, but just try it and you find, oh Christ, yeah, that's pretty disgusting.
But then as well, a lot of the, you know, bodybuilders, for example, to be stereotypical, I'm sure a lot of bodybuilders have done partial reps on bicep curls, you know, your matrix reps and that sort of stuff as well, isn't it? You know, so again, they're hard, they're effective as well. And I think
L21s, Ash, do you remember those 21s?
L21s, exactly right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're painful, but they work and they're effective, aren't they? You know, and again, I used to know in the bodybuilding field, a lot of people, bodybuilders, would use that type of training because, you know, they got that pump from the whole situation, right? Mate, cool. So we discussed a few things from there. I think a few considerations for people to think about. Let's go into working on weaknesses, something that you mentioned to me just now as well. So working on weaknesses, using this time to find out, say, right, okay, so I can't train like I normally would, but what can I do on stuff that I normally neglect when I can use a gym?
Yeah. So that's a great point, Ash. And there's a couple of muscle areas that I did a post about it recently that radiate strength throughout the whole body. One's the lower back, one's the VMO, as in inside the knee. One is your neck, and the other one is, oh Christ, I can't really remember. It'll come to me. So you can work on these areas, and that's where unilateral work comes in. Bands will come in. But let's say we're talking about most people's external rotators at the shoulder are weak. And what we mean by external rotators at the shoulder is it, you know, external rotates your shoulder back. Mm-hmm. Most people are weak because they're pressing and all that stuff. Even pull-ups internally rotate your shoulder.
Yeah.
So you want to externally rotate those. There's a million one exercises you can do, and I've learned loads of them, but I think probably the most effective ones are banded. Stand on a band, a loop band, stand on it, and then do like slow Cuban presses with it.
Yeah.
That's one. And then superset that into face pulls with the same band.
Yeah.
And that'll work those external rotators and your rhomboids as well. And another weak area, nearly all of us nowadays, is your neck, your neck extenders, not your flexors. And we know why, of course, computers and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And there's really easy ways to train your neck extenders, and just get a band, loop it around something at about head height, and then just simply, you know, just do that and pause isometric hold.
Yeah.
Back in that, anyway. The bear in mind, the neck is a postural muscle, so at work it'll respond better to higher reps. Postural muscles, higher reps. Mm-hmm. So that's quite an important thing to remember. And then I think probably the main weakness, or not so much weakness, but strength deficit, we call it, yeah, is your single-sided stuff. So squatter, you know, once again, you, let's say even elite squatters, sometimes the deficit between one leg and the other leg can be up to 15%. Mm. You know, so therefore, do your split squats, do your lunges, do your side lunges, do your step-ups, you know, that's, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Offing on again.
But no, you're right though. And again, let's go on that. So you covered external rotators in your shoulders, right? Neck extension as well, important. Lower back. So again, working around that postural area as well. And again, you've come across, I'm sure, hundreds of clients with lower back pain. That's one thing that holds them back in their training. Working on all of these things, working on posture. Again, I know a lot of our colleagues talk about posture a lot, which is important. It's very common in this day and age for people to have incorrect posture because of screens, laptops, all that sort of stuff. It's something that people should definitely be considering now, isn't it? How would you recommend someone to work on these elements? You mentioned resistance bands, working the core area as well. Is it just a case of like, and maybe putting a nice good flowing stretch routine in around this as well to work on imbalances?
Yes and no, mate. So what you can obviously use what we've just spoke about, you know, your body weight, maybe some bands, maybe some a kettlebell or whatever, for sure you can do all that. Speaking about the bands then, let's say you can use your bands for extension exercises mainly. Mm-hmm. To replicate the strength curve. And if I explain that, let's say I'm doing a kettlebell goblet squat. So I've got the kettlebell here, and you know, and I'm going to squat, but you can, as I'm at the bottom of the hole in the squat, that's my weakest, as we call it, getting out the hole, isn't that the weakest point?
Yeah, yeah.
And then as I'm coming up, it gets easier because my, you know, my knees are less bent and I can fly up.
Yeah.
But in order to make that more difficult and make it harder, as you're lifting up, it makes it harder, stand on the kettlebell, both legs. Mm-hmm. And then as you're going down and the band stretches, then that's what we call replicating the strength curve.
Yeah.
And once again, that will really, you don't normally do that in the gym,
but no,
that is fantastic just for getting tension throughout the whole of the muscle all the way up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you could dump it and then do some jumps. Do you know what I mean? Mm. But really, to work on all that stuff, it's this, it's just the what we just spoke about. Lower back work is quite good. You can loop a band around your feet, then put it around your shoulders and just do kind of good mornings.
Yeah.
Offset carries are good with the same kettlebell, just yeah, like carrying the suitcase up and down the stairs. That will help your lower back. And then things like what I call landmines, get the kettlebell or the weight and do side to side, and that bulletproofs that whole kind of mid-core region.
Yeah. So I think it's good, and I think a lot of people listen to this should consider, what are my weaknesses, what could I work on, what should I work on, and then use the limited kit that you have and program for that. And again, I think that's key, isn't it? Make a routine, make a program of what you're going to do. The issue I found a lot of people have with home training is waking up, think, I need to train today, I didn't do it yesterday, I need to train today, and rocking up with whatever limited kit they have or a lot of kit that they might have, and thinking, what am I going to do? I'll just do a bit of this, yeah, a bit of that. And they end up doing almost like a whole body approach circuit sort of session, isn't it? I think a good action for people to do, if they're listening to this, if they're struggling, is sit down and write out a plan, just like they would have in their gym environment as well. Write out a plan, be specific to muscle groups, use your set methods that you know of, like your supersets, your tri-sets, bring in these considerations that you're mentioning, like the single-sided work, using resistance bands to work on the extension side of things as well, and then be creative with it, isn't it? You know, and work on weaknesses.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right, Ash. So if you're going to train every day, there's a couple of, this would be a long lecture if we go into this, but there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can either do, you know, full body every day, but keep the volume low. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way of doing things. Or you can do like you're suggesting, maybe kind of an upper split, a lower split, yeah, and therefore you can train every day again, or whatever you want to do. But because we're at home and you haven't got the brutal amount of weight,
yeah,
I wouldn't do more than a kind of a two-way split, really. I would still do something like upper lower, or push pull, because let's say I'm doing arms one day and then legs the next day, and then she'll, you know, I don't think that's going to work in a home environment. I don't think it works in the gym, to be fair. But unless you're on the steroids, but we won't talk about that necessarily in this instance. So I'd still do something either half body off, but I like the full body stuff, I've got to say. Keep the volume low. And another way to take the stress out of training is start a training diary. And let's say, like, for example, stay there, Ash. I'm just going to go. I've got my training diary. I'll show you something.
Yeah, right, mate.
So I've got it now. So to take the stress out of things, let's say you write a training diary and you look at what you did. I don't know. Let's say what you did yesterday. It doesn't really matter if you can't see that. But look at what I did yesterday, and I think, oh, okay, I'll just fill in the gaps. So let's say, for example, yesterday was power clean into med ball slams and bent over row, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think, okay, what will complement that? Oh, today I'll do, you know, back squat and shoulder press and pull-ups. So the point is, as long as you've got a record, then you can look at what you did the day before, and you go, okay, actually I'm missing out on, I haven't done any front squats today, or split squats, or step-ups, or whatever.
You're making sure, basically.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're making sure, like you correctly said, you're filling the gaps. So you're making sure you get balance, which we all try to do on a weekly basis anyway. You know, and that's, again, a stereotype of the gym industry as well, as people don't have balance in their training. They work on the beach muscles, so to speak. You know, your biceps, your chest, your abs, which just pulls everything forwards. A lot of people don't have balance. And again, this is a nice time to be clever and think, over the course of this week, how am I going to fill in the gaps, as you say, and create balance by making sure everything, every body part, has been overloaded in the correct manner, right?
Yeah. And remember, for natural people, volume, frequency trumps volume. So that's quite important to remember. So if, let's say, you just go in, like, let's say a normal gym, you go in and you're going to smash yourself legs, you know, there's huge amounts of volume going on there. But actually, from a natural point of view, what I mean by natural is not on steroids. It's better, frequency is better. Do you know? That's why the full body work, or indeed the half split, works really, really well. And as you rightly pointed out, Ash, if you make yourself a rough plan, it doesn't have to be religious, because that's just another stress. You know, oh, Christ, I haven't done my work today. But I think if you can have a rough plan, okay, I want to do a full body push and a full body pull for this 2 or 3 weeks. That works. But I think we've got enough stress going on that we don't have to worry about, you know, training stress. Just maybe enjoy it rather than kind of it becoming a fecking bore, you know?
A question for you then. How long are your sessions for?
Well, funny enough, that's one of the beautiful things at the moment, because what do? Well, I kind of eat, drink coffee, look after the kids, take the dog out and train. So actually I can train for years. But the truth is, in it here, if I'm training for more than an hour, I'm kind of mincing around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You want to be, by the time you've warmed up, by the time that first exercise starts to the last one, is, you know, no more than an hour if you're training fairly intensely. Otherwise, you know, and you're going back the next day and the next day and the next day, and you're not on steroids, then your recovery, if you're crushing yourself every day for 2 hours, properly crushing yourself, you won't last long, no matter who you are, you know?
Yeah, and I suppose, like, for people that maybe find training at home motivation levels fairly hard, maybe there's too many distractions, maybe they've got kids and stuff like that as well, so they can never get their head into the session itself. I guess for them, those sort of people as well, you could think about breaking it down. Like, maybe do a good 45 minutes to an hour of resistance training, one end of the day, be it morning or evening, doesn't really matter. And then whatever suits that person. And as you say, by the time you warmed up, you've done the main intensity of the session and you cool down, that's resistance done. And then you can get back to the kids and homeschooling or whatever you'll be doing, and then go back at the other end of the day and do a bit of cardio, a bit of fizz, couldn't you? You know, if that's getting out and having a run, great. If it's at home doing some skipping, some bad work, some pad work, even better, you know?
Ash, that funny enough, that reminded me of something I wanted to bring up today, and that's a hugely important thing. There's a couple of reasons for it, but if you can do what you might do, mini sessions, you know, 2 or 3 or even 4 sessions a day. No one's going to do that unless you're really dedicated. But let's say you do 2 sessions a day.
Yeah.
That's 2 times that your body becomes insulin resistant. Insulin sensitive. So the nutrients you take on board, you're going to repair and recover twice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that really has a massive anabolic effect.
Yes.
So long as you don't crush yourself every single time, then you kind of cook. But like what you pointed out there was really quite important. You can do mini sessions, but I would probably do your strength work in the morning.
Yeah.
And then your more kind of metabolic, bodybuildery, cardiovascular-y type stuff in the evening.
Yeah.
And you can see two insulin sensitive times a day. You eat twice. None of that's going to go to fat if you've trained hard. It's all going to go to repair, recovery. Yeah. So if you can pulse your training, that's fantastic. Really is a great idea.
Yeah, I think now is a good time for people to form that habit as well, isn't it? You know, to train two mini sessions in a day. Maybe even chuck in a stretching session where you just dedicate 20 minutes on a completely different session to foam rolling, stretching, working on imbalances as well, right?
Once again, great point, Ash, and you brought it up earlier. The stretching thing, of course, stretching without strength training, in my view, is wasted. Mm. So why am I stretching? Let's say, for example, I've got tight shoulders and tight pecs, whatever. There's no point stretching them if I'm not also training the area around the back of those musculature in order to strengthen it. So, but once again, the studies have shown that if you do, like you've just suggested there, a single session of stretching, not tagged on for 5 minutes at the end of your workout.
No, yeah.
A single full 20, 30, 40 minutes of stretching, if you want to do that much, 20 minutes is lovely because it relaxes you, calms you down, stimulates your parasympathetic nervous system, helps you sleep. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, that's a better way of doing it than, bolting on 5 minutes at the end of your workout. Mm-hmm. Stretching on their own is a really good way to... Have I just been clapping my hands like a mental person?
You have been. That's right. There's a lot of people that just listen to this. They won't see the YouTube video, so you're fine. You get away with it. Now everyone knows that you've been clapping away merrily.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, what you said there, stretching and working on imbalance. And normally an imbalance is because your muscular is out of whack insofar as one's tight and one's weak. One area is tight, one's weak. So you can,
won't go into it. And as well, it's being wise about when you put that stretching session in. Waking up and going into a stretching routine. I know why a lot of people do that. Loosens up their body for the day. But again, if you're going to do it right, do it at the end of the day, to, as you rightly said, to influence that parasympathetic nervous system, the calming part of our nervous system that bring everything back down, right?
That is. It, funny if you say that, actually, it goes back to the nutritional thing. How are we doing for time? Oh, we're waffling on, aren't we? It goes back to the nutritional thing. If you're doing something that calms you down in the morning, unless you want to be calm and you want to relax, great. But perhaps more perky in the morning and more relaxed in the evening, as we spoke about in the last podcast.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Is that
the circadian rhythm sort of side of things as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely right.
Okay, mate. So to recap a little bit, buddy. So we're thinking now's a good time for people to really take a little bit of ownership of their training, be a bit clever with it, use it as a time to do something that you wouldn't normally do. Work on weaknesses, work on imbalances. I know not everyone's got time on their hands. A lot of people are extremely busy at this time. But for those who have got time on their hands, maybe just try and split up one big session in a day into a few little sessions, as we just discussed. But definitely, I think what people should be doing at this time is educate themselves a little bit about what they could be doing differently, how they could train differently. And I guarantee, and there's a lot of people I've spoken to as well, when gyms open again, which will be soon, when gyms are open again, people are going to be training slightly different in that gym. Hopefully, they're going to be training gyms as much as they were before, but then also maybe doing a bit more around the gym as well, a bit more at home. Maybe they've implemented that habit of doing a stretching session most evenings because it does calm them down. They can see the benefits. And this might be someone who's never stretched hardly at all before, So find out what the positives are in this sort of time and work on those for now, isn't it? Put a plan in place and stick to it.
Yeah, I think, Ash, if I was to sum up what you can do at home is unilateral stuff, so single-sided stuff.
Yeah.
I would increase the time under tension by going really, really slow on the way down and maybe even slow on the way up. I'd even learn to skip because that's fantastic for your Achilles tendons. I'd make use of bands to make it more difficult as I'm lifting the weight or the load or my body or whatever it might be. And I think the isometric work would be really useful, press against something immovable for maximum intensity and then jump, get off it and then go into something volatile, as it were, explosive.
Yeah. try to find ways of adding load. Let's finish with mindset. Mindset. We spoke about this a lot in our first podcast as well. I know what you're going to go into in a minute, vitamin D. Let's start with that one. You know, the sunset, I mean, I'm sure there might be people, I don't know how big we are yet, James, but people might be listening to this who aren't in the UK, but most of our markets in the UK at the minute, the sun's out. It's different, isn't it? I think people in a positive mindset, they feel better about themselves because they're in the sunshine a bit as well. So get outside, get the vitamin D in your skin, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I won't waffle on too much about that. But yeah, rather than maybe running on your newly bought treadmill inside, you know, get out and use the hour of hour out in the sun and do it CrossFit style, bare chested, because you're getting the vitamin D on your body, which is what you want, not just on your face and your arms. So that's quite useful. And vitamin D, I mean, you can go into the whole, it's the very fact it's a pro hormone. It's extremely useful from antiviral, antioxidant. I'll think of it in a minute, but it is one of the kind of pro hormones that you can use. And it's the happy hormone, isn't it? It kind of makes you happy.
Yeah, as you say.
So when you're on holiday, you're hungry and horny.
Yeah.
And you won't get fat. And the reason for that is because vitamin D and the lack of stress. I would also increase, I'd probably still do the magnesium thing in the evening to help me calm me down, help me sleep. And one of the things that I've noticed I'm doing too much is drinking too much coffee, because I go, oh, it's 10 o'clock now, I'll have a coffee. And then, oh, it's 2, I'll have another. So rather than doing that, if you're jittery, which luckily I'm not, but people can be because they're worried about things, you know, have the green tea with theanine in it and it calms you down. And that's quite an important thing. We spoke about the carbohydrates in the evening. If you're going to have carbohydrates in the evening, just don't have them at all during the day. And then have them in the evening where you calm down, relax and help you sleep. But I don't want to waffle on, because we'll just repeat the whole lecture from the last time.
Yeah, that's cool, mate. So on that, get outside in the sunshine. Hopefully people are going to be planning their workouts and tracking their workouts as well, so they can make sure they fill in the gaps. Alongside that one, they can start looking at their nutrition a bit now as well. Eat a little bit more healthily if they can. Obviously, going to supermarkets, and that's a bit weird at the minute, but try to shop still as local as possible, making sure most of your meals are protein and fat-based with, as you say, carbohydrates in the evening. So just try to be a bit wise with the nutritional side of things and track what you're eating as well. And with that, you can keep your grateful log as well, so that you can almost record your training, your nutrition, and add a grateful log at the end of the day as well, can't you?
Yeah, you're right, mate. And I don't want to bang on about it, but we spoke about grateful log before. And what I found is, and I teach my kids as well, avoid negative people and don't be negative yourself. And so, like, I don't want to say anything, but I had someone message me today and they're so negative. I just, that, you know, they're bringing me down. So I'm not going to talk to you. You know, you're just, my point is just avoid that. There's no need. Say again, it wasn't you. You're always welcome to chat to me, Ash. You brighten my day. But writing your grateful log, and that will keep you grateful. The very fact that, okay, you know, it's most of these problems are first world problems, you know?
Yeah.
For us here, luckily.
100%. And lastly as well, plan for the future as well, isn't it? You know, use this time, do a bit of like reflecting on what maybe life has been. You see, there's lots of it at the minute, isn't it? Like, what would you change when all of this is over, when we get back to normality? Will you go to exactly how you were before? Would you be implementing new habits, have a different mindset? I think, you know, be a bit real with yourself, isn't it? Do a bit of reflective practice. Grateful log is one of those elements. And do some planning. And I think planning, I know I'm a bit of a planner. I like to write lists and things that I want to work towards. But again, it's a healthy thing, isn't it? It's good for the mindset.
Yeah, absolutely, mate.
Cool. Anything else to add, James?
I don't want to bang on, buddy, but just from a training point of view, as we spoke about, work on your unilateral stuff. If you can do anything, single arm, single leg stuff, add some bands, use of a kettlebell, use some plyometric work for jumping, slow tempo up, slow tempo down, and isometric work. And I think probably you'll get a fantastic workout without having to join PFP.
They can do that when things go back to normal, mate. It's all right.
Exactly.
I'll add your website to the podcast and YouTube video. Don't worry.
Thank you, my man.
Cool, mate. Thanks for your wisdom as always. And we'll speak to you next time.
Thanks, buddy. You take care.
Cheers, mate. Take care, mate.
Bye-bye.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Performance Training Academy. My name's Ashley Hoff, and today's guest was James Buckingham. You can find more of our content at www.performancetrainingacademy.com or www.precisionperformance.co.uk. Please share this podcast around and subscribe to our channels.